Welcome back to That 590 Show. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio. J.J. Bailey from KMOV.com sitting in with us. Joining us, though, right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the editorial director of NHL.com. You can follow him on Twitter at SRourke_NHL. Sean Rourke, how are you, sir?
I'm good, boys. How are you?
Good. So what do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about the game that happened last night, or you want to talk about the game that's going to happen tonight? I'll let you pick your poison.
Let's look ahead.
I'm sorry, what was that? Okay, let's look ahead. Obviously, the Nashville Predators and the Anaheim Ducks, they're playing game four this evening at the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. Surprised now that Nashville's up 2-1, or is this kind of how you predicted the series to go?
I'm not surprised that they're up 2-1. I think this is a coin flip series. I think Nashville's a better team than a lot of people give them credit for. They look at their record during the regular season. They were the last team to qualify, and they think that they were going to be easy out, but they hit their stride late. Now they're the team that everybody thinks they were going to be early in the season. They probably have the deepest defense core in the playoffs. And Pekka Rene, their goalie's playing fantastic, and they're getting some timely scoring. So, I'm not surprised they're up 2-1, but I think Anaheim's going to make the series before it's over.
It's kind of surprising how Nashville's been a little bit of an intimidating place to play. They haven't lost a playoff game in Nashville yet so far this season. And just the atmosphere there, a lot of people were comparing it to like a college football atmosphere. You know, they'll chant, "You suck," to the goalie. You'll have the Tennessee Titans offensive linemen, you know, sitting in the front row smashing beer cans on their heads. I mean, the atmosphere there, it really is a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I was lucky enough to be there for the first two rounds and hopefully going back for game six. But it's an atmosphere like none I've ever seen before. The fans have such a good time. It is very college football-ish. They have all their time chants that they do. The music that they do throughout the game, they don't have any in-between period entertainment. They play live music, and they have some pretty big names coming because Nashville is such a big music town. And the people are educated now. It's been 19 years. They're hardcore hockey fans. It's as loud as any building I've ever been in. Another advantage is Peter Laviolette's a really good coach. Again, somebody who I don't think gets enough credit. This is the third different team that he's got to the Eastern to a conference final. He won a cup with Carolina, and he got Philadelphia to the conference final as well in 2010. And he knows how to work matchups. I thought in game three, he was able to get Brian Johansson, his top center, away from Ryan Kessler, who had made him crazy the first two games. And he was able to get away from that matchup, and he was able to get P.K. Subban and Matias Ekholm, his number one deep pair, on the Ryan Getzlaf line and kind of shut them down, which is no easy task to do. So, it's been home ice has been very beneficial to the Predators for a number of reasons. Intimidation, strategy, and everything else that goes along with it.
And I said a couple nights ago that it seems like they have more fun at hockey. I know that when the series was going on against the Blues here in St. Louis, that you did cover some of the games here at the Scott Trade Center. I'm not trying to say that the Scott Trade Center was a library, but it seemed like the crowds in Nashville, they were a little louder, and it seemed like they had a little more fun. Is that the impression that you got?
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, that's a one-horse town right now because the Titans aren't playing. There's nothing really to compete with. And that's a fun town. I mean, that's what they base their whole marketing campaign on, is how much fun that town is. And like I said, their fans are hardcore now. They've been invested for years in the team. And right now, this is all new for them. This is the first time they've ever been this far in the playoffs. And everybody loves a winner. And you know what? The pregame options are fantastic. If you don't arrive at that game ready to have some fun, you might need some sort of medical treatment.
Pekka Rene, who was the best goaltender during the playoffs so far, had a little bit of a shaky game two, but bounced back in game three. Do you expect him to continue that type of play tonight?
Well, I do. I mean, obviously, he's in a groove. This is his best he's ever played, and that was kind of the missing piece for Nashville. They needed a good goaltender for sure to get this far. He's really good at home for whatever reason. Maybe it's comfort level. Maybe he really likes barbecue a lot. I'm not sure what it is, although, you look at him and he's a pretty skinny guy, so I don't imagine he likes played well, and I think that they haven't really. The one thing Anaheim has to do is what Nashville did in Game 3, and they've really got to get in his kitchen, and they got to rattle some pots and pans. You know, they got to bump him, they got to knock him, they got to figure out how to make him uncomfortable, because I think he's a little too comfortable. And when he's comfortable, he's dangerous, because he's a bit of an unorthodox goalie in that he uses his gloves so much across his body and on the ice, almost like a baseball, like a first baseman. And it confuses a lot of shooters, and it intimidates them because they don't know. It's not traditional, and they're not sure what they're supposed to do, but he'll also give up some wacky goals, like the one he gave up to Corey Perry when he kind of lost the goalpost there. And, you know, he gave up a bad one in game two as well. So it's kind of a mixed bag for them as far as what they're going to see from Pekka. But I think when you can unhinge him a little bit with your physical play, you're halfway to where you need to be.
Let's talk about the game last night between the Ottawa Senators and the Stanley Cup defending champions Pittsburgh Penguins. Ottawa wins that game 5-1. They're up the series 2-1, and it looks like Pittsburgh's not sure exactly what they're going to do for goal. Right now, Marc-Andre Fleury is the starter, but he got yanked and replaced with Matt Murray. Would they be smart to continue to play Matt Murray?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury's the guy that got you there. I think that when you look at it, he's played all the games. He's delivered to where they are. I think you send a really bad message to your team if you say, oh, my God, he had one bad period. And that period wasn't entirely his fault. It's four goals in 12 shots, but the Penguins didn't help him out at all. I think when Mike Sullivan switched goalies, he was trying to give his team a wake-up call. Clearly didn't work. They never woke up in that game. I think now the message is, hey, Marc-Andre Fleury took one for you guys. Now go pay him back. And let's not forget that the Pittsburgh Penguins were here a week and a half ago in Game 6 against the Washington Capitals. They had lost Game 5, then they lost Game 6 convincingly, and everybody wrote them off, said that they had played too much hockey, that they didn't have any answers for Barry Trotz, who had switched things around with the Capitals. And now they're saying the same thing, that they played too much hockey, there's too many injuries, and they have no answers for Guy Boucher in that 1-3-1 defensive system he plays. I wouldn't count Mike Sullivan out. He's a fantastic coach as far as countering what other people do. And then I wouldn't count out the pride in that locker room. When you have Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin in the same room, A, you have a ton of skill, but B, you have two really, really proud guys who are going to lift that team and can do it single-handedly. But the way they're going to lift that team is they're going to illustrate to the rest of the team exactly what is going to be required from every player tomorrow night to get that series even, to get it back to Pittsburgh. They do that, it's best of three with two games in Pittsburgh. So series are funny in that, you know, you lose a game and you lose a game convincingly, all of a sudden everybody's writing you off. But it doesn't matter if you lose 5-1 or you lose 1-0 in triple overtime. It's one loss in a seven-game series, and the really good teams are able to put it behind them. And I think that the Penguins, more than any team left in this tournament, have had a lot of experience in putting bad playoff games behind them and finding the light at the end of the tunnel there and coming out the other side looking better than anybody expected them to.
Sean Rourke, the editorial director of NHL.com, joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at srourke_NHL. Sean, you mentioned Sidney Crosby. Does he look right to you? I know that he missed a game or two with a concussion, and then he took a header into the boards shortly after that, but he kind of has looked a little out of sorts ever since then. Does he look right to you?
He does. I mean, look, everybody banged up in the playoffs, I think. What Ottawa's doing to him and to the Penguins as a whole is completely frustrating. I think it does put people off their game. Nobody's scoring for the Penguins, and they have some pretty talented scorers on that team. You know, Phil Kessel, nobody's worried about him as far as his health. He's having trouble scoring. Malkin was completely frustrated, took a misconduct last night, you know, was angry throughout that whole game. That's a frustrating team to play against because they're so committed to what they do and committed to sucking the life right out of the game and trying to win by a goal. You look at the Ottawa Senators, they've dominated in one-goal games. They've won five out of six overtime games. you know, and they're only 14 games into the play. So almost every other game they play is an overtime game, and they're completely comfortable in that system. They never really deviate from it. And then when they have to chase a game, they're able to do it. That's almost the most frustrating part, is they've played 6-5 and 5-4 games against the Rangers because they've had to, and you know they can do it, but they're completely content in just suffocating another team and forcing that team to make mistakes and counter off of it, because that's what their defense does, is it makes you make a high-risk play because you're so frustrated to get into their zone. You make that high-risk play, and then they counter, and they can counter with Erik Karlsson, who to me has been the best player in these playoffs. I mean, he's been unbelievable. I know he's won a Norris Trophy, and I know he's always talked about as a good defenseman. He has elevated himself to one of the true elites in our league, I think. And the fact that he's doing it with a couple of small fractures in his heel makes it even more unbelievable.
The many people have described the play of the Ottawa Senators as being boring. If they were to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, at least there would be a Canadian team represented in the Stanley Cup Finals, and Canada has not won the Stanley Cup in, I believe, over 20 years. So I guess maybe the NHL would be happy about that, that maybe the entire nation of Canada may be pulling for the Senators, but they don't exactly play an appealing brand of hockey.
Well, it depends on, you know, what you like. I think there's a lot of things that I like about watching Ottawa Senators. One of them, as I mentioned, Derek Carlson, Bobby Ryan's having a fantastic playoff after a really bad regular season. And Anderson, the goalie, is unbelievable. You know, his story is unbelievable. And, you know, his wife was sick. He missed part of the year. And now he's back and he's playing really well. He allows him to play that one goal game. You know, I think the onus when you play the Ottawa Senators is to force them out of that game. And I think either team in the West can do that because they skate very well. They'll get in hard on the forecheck and they'll punish the D, and they'll kind of force them out of that game a little bit. But I think it's up to two teams to make the game interesting, and Ottawa can be as hard as they want to be to allow you into their zone. But I think you have to force it a little bit and make that game open up and go from there. So I don't know if the NHL is happy with one team over another. There hasn't been a Canadian team since the Canadians won it they haven't won it since the Canadians won it in 93. Ottawa was in 10 years ago against Anaheim, and you could actually have a rematch if Anaheim finds a way to come back and Ottawa finds a way to hold on. That was a great, dramatic series, I thought. And, you know, the Stanley Cup Final brings out the best in everybody, and I think you'll see good hockey no matter who plays. And I think you'll learn to appreciate the way that Ottawa plays if you watch it for 6 or 7 games. Not everybody agrees with it, but it's clearly successful. It's been successful with Guy Boucher everywhere he's been. I mean, the guy's only lost one playoff series in his whole life, and that was the Eastern Conference Final when he was with Tampa Bay. So, you know, clearly something's working there.
Sean Rourke, we appreciate your insight as always, sir, and we look forward to having you on again once we're down to the final two teams.
It'd be my pleasure. It's going to be a good one either way, but I think we got a lot of good hockey left before then.
I think you're right. We appreciate it, Sean. Have a good night.
All right, you too.
That is Sean Rourke, the editorial director of NHL.com. You can follow him on Twitter at @SRourke_NHL. Let's head back to that 590 Show Sports Update Desk and our very own Matt Rocchio.
In action right now, the Twins have taken an early 1-0 lead over the Rockies in the bottom of the second. That is game two of a doubleheader for the day. The Rockies winning the first game 5-1 earlier today. And the Blue Jays and the Braves in action again. There's been a little bit of the fireworks that we saw last night. Jose Bautista was hitting the thigh. Everyone was warned. We'll see if that breaks apart. But the Blue Jays have jumped out to an early 3-0 lead in the top of the second. Cardinals are off tonight, and they will get a 3-game series started with the San Francisco Giants tomorrow night. Michael Wacha takes on Matt Moore, the lefty, in game one. Carlos Martinez versus the righty Jeff Samardzija in Game 2. And then Game 3, the Battle of the Veterans. Adam Wainwright takes on Matt Cain. And, of course, as Berger just mentioned, we will see Game 4 tonight of the Western Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs as the Predators lead that series 2-1 over the Ducks. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up, we're going to be joined by Andrew Claudio, the digital media director of Gotham SN and the host of the Nothing But Knicks podcast, and I would say probably the fan favorite that we've had on. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.